You're listening to the New Old Heads podcast, shot live every Tuesday at twitch.tv/newoldheads and released every Thursday at noon via bringingdowntheband.com. The show is brought to you by Coleman Dental, Printfinity, Indie CD and Vinyl. Support the show directly by becoming a member at patreon.com/newoldheads.
You are now tuned in to the New Old Heads podcast. I want to say welcome. I've had to switch some things up here today because we're shorthanded. Just a little bit, but you know, the show must go on, so, you know, just shout out to those of us who are here and those of us who are not. Longevity, how you doing, sir?
Doing all right, man. Thanks for asking.
Hey, you know, I gotta ask. My man, Jay Diff, you know, he's holding it down all by his lonely over there.
Salutations, I'm right in front of my head.
Okay. I heard that.
Which one of me you want to talk to?
Yeah, man. So shout out to Major 7th. He's feeling a little below the weather right now. So, you know, we want him to go ahead and take care of himself. And hopefully he'll be right back in the saddle with it next week.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so Kanye West is in the news for... It was like a Paris fashion show, right? I think.
His fashion show.
Oh, it was his show. And he essentially wore a shirt. And had other people wearing shirts, too. I haven't read this yet. But he went viral after doing this. He even brought Candace Owens out to it. He also claimed the Black Lives Matter was a scam.
The organization may have been, but...
But the idea...
That's the whole thing I don't get about people with the whole Black Lives Matter thing. It wasn't necessarily even about the organization. It's more so that the strength behind saying that meant something. Because it was actually going on. And... As somebody black, you should have been able to relate to that.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the organization. Even white people should have been, and white people have. I mean, they say it too. Yeah, I understand that. But a lot of people don't understand it still because they don't want to understand it.
Yeah.
And like, you know, once they went into the whole All Lives Matter and Blue Lives Matter, it's like, damn, anytime we innovate, y'all just got to go ahead and perpetrate.
Yeah. Blue life is
you can even come up with Smurf.
Yeah. You weren't born with a blue life. I'm just saying.
No, and, you're not a Smurf, man.
And you know what's wild is like, you know, the city from St. Louis, the police wear brown uniforms and they're certainly not gonna say brown lives.
Yeah. Sheriffs here wear brown uniforms.
Yeah, they do.
Terry, you kinda spoke on it, but Jay
speaked.
Yeah,
you speaked on it.
Speaked because you're
let's,
not scared.
Let's say speaked.
Yeah. I mean, outside of what Terry said, I agree. I, you know, there's a difference between the organization of Black Lives Matter and just the entire idea of Black Lives Matter, which is that white supremacy exists in society. And, you know, Kanye is wrong in that aspect. This isn't, I feel like he brought like Candace, I feel like Candace latches on to stuff like this because she likes to be the token black woman, a part of these things. And, regardless of if...
Well, then she likes to marginalize black people as much as she can.
Yeah, I feel like she found that lane for herself, and she likes to argue, you know, people that... Candace Owens, in general, she plays the role of, because I'm a black woman, you can't challenge me when I say things about being black, even if she's wrong. And Kanye West has kind of fallen into that as well. So it's super interesting. Like, you can be wrong... Regardless, like it's Black Lives Matter isn't like this. It's not like this gotcha moment.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I feel like
people willfully turn a blind eye to what it really means. And that's what doesn't sit right with me. And it's ignorant on all stands when Kanye, somebody that had got on national TV at one point in time and said George Bush doesn't care about black people. And he said that based on how he handled the Hurricane Katrina situation. Now, how people have been handling America as a whole, if you said that at one point in time and now you're, it's like he's backtracking, but people say he's being strategic, and it's strategic ignorance in my, you know what I'm saying? It doesn't make any sense. I mean, you're in a place where you don't have to do that.
Right.
You're Kanye West. You're who you strive to be. You now go by Ye. You have great fashion line. Your music is subpar now. You have hits here and there, but his whole thing now is shock, being a shock value person or shock jock or whatever. And I'm just not feeling it, man. It's and I'm the resident Kanye fan.
It just seems like beneath him. Like I don't, he doesn't have to do it. I think that's the thing that's so weird.
Yeah,
he doesn't have to. He can do anything.
All this, they call everything. People need to stop using the genius word lightly. And we've talked about that too, because everything somebody does that everybody doesn't agree with does not make them a genius. Yeah. You know, and that's what I've been seeing all day. Oh, he's a genius. He's being strategic. He's doing this. He's doing that. That doesn't make it right.
Right.
And when years down the line where he decides to be like, yeah, I was on one back then and I really shouldn't have been doing that. All these people that are defending him, what are they going to say then? Because I think everything, you can't align yourself with somebody and think everything that they do is right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially when they're literally showing their ass whenever they do something.
I mean, every person out here is fallible. Every person has, nobody is a god. You know what I mean? Nobody is that, even though I feel like he's claimed that before.
Yeah, at one point in time he was.
But I don't feel like celebrities are, especially under a microscope. And
not that he was, I'm not saying that he was a god. I'm saying
he had like a song that called it, right? Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, these people are human just like us, you know, and they're under a spotlight. And I don't know, man, Kanye's just like he's like a big baby with a bunch of yes men around him.
Yeah.
Look, man. This is the thing. I don't believe Kanye to be stupid. And so when he does things like this, you know, because people are like, oh, well, you know, what about his mental health? I was like, these are very calculated things that he's doing.
Sometimes. I mean, the stuff, rant where he's crying about being aborted.
That's different. Yeah, that's you know, different. But this particular
thing,
make sure that you take pictures in this and make sure you have, you're next to Candace Owens, you know, and, you know, a lot
make
of
sure
times.
Make sure you see the back of the shirt.
Make sure you see the back of the shirt, you know.
Yeah.
And the whole thing with, you know, a lot of this is like people are like, well, you know, he's a black man saying this, and the same thing Candace Owens is. This is a black woman saying this, so there must be, we got to listen to him. It's like, you got to understand, some of the most dangerous white supremacists that this country has ever seen have been black people. Okay, so you are not absolved of anti-blackness in any way, shape, or form just because you are black. And what Kanye doesn't understand is that when he lends his credibility to whoever, whatever credibility you think he has left, to say things like this, it endangers to a certain extent black people who do not have the ability to live behind the walls of Calabasas.
Mm.
Okay. You know, he doesn't understand that, you know, because whenever
he has a level of class privilege.
Yes. So when, but this is also the thing that's most frustrating about him is, you know, he can do these things and then go and, you know, go back to Calabasas and his sleeping on Elon Musk's couch or whatever he likes to do in his spare time, while, you know, the average black person still has to navigate and thrive in a world where systematic racism is a part of our everyday existence.
Yeah.
You know, and one of the things that's most frustrating about him is he'll call everybody else a victim. It's like, you shouldn't have a victim mentality. But when he's down, he's always talking, my black kids and I will not do this. And yeah, the Jenners and the Kardashians will not do this. And like, when he likes to pull that black card when it's very convenient for him. Mm-hmm. But when it's something that would benefit us all, he's telling us that slavery is a choice and that we need to stop being victims. But he's the biggest victim I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You know, depending on the situation.
Definitely.
You know, so, you know, it just, you know, like I said, just because he's black and he hangs out with other black people doesn't mean he's not engaging in anti-blackness when he does things like this.
Definitely.
And once again, because of, you know, who he has aligned himself with, you know, politically, it makes it very dangerous, the things he says, because, you know, he says white lives matter. You know, first of all, white lives have always mattered in the United States of America. Be clear. You know, whiteness has always been the default.
Nobody ever said that white lives didn't matter.
You know,
they were saying that black lives matter.
You know, and so for him to even if you believe Black Lives Matter is a scam as far as an organization, I can have that conversation with you. But for you to say the whole idea of Black Lives Matter is now dead and I killed it, that's very dangerous.
Yeah,
and that's very irresponsible of him to say.
I mean, that's a Trump mentality. You want to take credit for doing something that you didn't do. And I mean, don't know. Kanye, especially growing up in Chicago, should know better. He knows right.
But how many times are we going to say he should know better? State. We've been saying that for him for a good 10 years now. I mean, he should know better.
He definitely should know better. And I'm going to go ahead and say it again. If his mom was here, he wouldn't be on this BS.
Yeah.
You know, and I empathize with him, but at the same time, like, man, everybody has gone through things that have been traumatic. You know, absolutely. Everybody has things that have set them back. But that does, once again, how do you like your bipolar? You know, if that is, you know, his condition, and I want to be sensitive to that. You know, and the fact that he lost his mom and things have, you know, he's gone through a divorce or whatever. Dog, life goes on. That doesn't explain you saying something that is so dangerous, that does so irresponsible. For you saying, "Oh, I want to open an academy," but then saying, but then like you get mad when somebody questions you about the fact that you don't read. You know what I'm saying? Like,
he never reads.
He never reads. You know, and we talked about the whole genius thing. Do I think, as far as a musician and creating and being a creative, he's a genius? I can give him that. But the thing is, being a genius and being smart, a lot of times, are not the exact same thing. There's somebody right now who has genius level talent at one thing, but if you ask them, "Hey, how do I get to the other side of the street?" they might be confused. Like, when I think about Ben Carson. I hate to harp on him because it seems like
he's a brain surgeon.
You know, here's somebody who had genius level talent, had gifted hands, but then when I see him on TV, you know, talking about HUD homes, I was like, he has no idea what he's talking about. Like when he was
being politicians, I think nine times out of ten,
you know. So like I said, being a genius and being smart are not the exact same thing.
That goes down to, like, I saw somebody, and this stuck with me a long time ago. Somebody's I don't know what the saying is from, is like, a genius is somebody who is revered as such by their peers. Mm-hmm. And so, like, Kanye West can be a genius when his peers call him that, but his peers aren't brain surgeons. His peers aren't, you know, this stuff over here in the same, right. You know what I mean? Like, so it's hip hop music or it's fashion. So those people can call him that and that. But when we're talking like in the political realm and what he's talking about, he's not a genius in that aspect. He's barely learned.
Yeah. He's somebody. Know? And I know someone said that was a bit harsh when I said something to the effect of, like, yeah, he's running for president, but I'm not sure if he could pass a seventh grade social studies exam. You know, yeah. Like some of the things
Trump could either.
Not, but, yeah, you know. Not that a lot of people could. But at the same time, like a lot of people aren't running for president. And, you know, sometimes I don't, you know, sure, he wanted to do it. So he did it. But I
barely, not really.
You know, the thing I think one of the most dangerous things, you know, with the political landscape now is when Donald Trump became president, it just made people think, well, I want to run for office. I'll do it. It doesn't matter if I know what I'm talking about or have any experience. Like, being in political life now is like people say, "Oh, you know, he has no experience in it." And it's like, that's the only job in America right now where people hear that you have no experience, and they're like, "Hey, that's a good thing."
It's,
you know,
yeah, but it's
that's
not
the only reason. Like Herschel Walker, for all his crazy, he's only 5 points behind. And that's within the margin of error.
Isn't that crazy though?
Like, and this is somebody who he's lied about being a police officer. He lied about being an honor student.
His,
like,
kids and stuff,
he,
too, right?
You know, he's
I mean, that's the stipulation behind being a politician. You have to be a good liar. I mean,
yeah, but he's not a good liar.
He's not, but and, somebody, you know, likes it.
Yeah,
but he's got an R by his name, and for a lot of people, that's enough.
That's enough.
Yeah. It's enough.
It's populism, man. It's you know, the populist candidates win.
Doesn't matter, like, if he won't even engage, he won't even do a debate. But it's like, no, that's fine. That's fine. And the thing is, this is what's crazy. There's a good chance it's going to come to a runoff. Because in Georgia, if you don't get 50%, say, you know, yeah, if you don't get 50%, it goes to a runoff. So say it winds up being Warnock 48%, Herschel Walker 45%. They're still going to have to do a December runoff and just take, you know, because I know there's independent, you know, there's always a libertarian candidate in there. And yeah, so it'll be the, you know, those two. And you never know, like, between, and it's going to be in December. So I'm predicting right now that that Herschel Walker is going to get into a runoff. And by December, there's a good chance he will be the senator from Georgia. Yeah.
That's ugly.
With the Kanye thing. Yeah.
That's the thing. I don't believe he's lost his mind. I don't.
No, neither. I'm just saying
I think these are all thought out, calculated things that he does. Like he decided.
I don't think it's thought out like that, though. I think that a lot of things that Kanye does is thought out, but I think a lot of things are that sounded provocative at the moment. Let's execute it right now that it's fresh in my brain, and let's just do it. And then when it's done, now we're waiting to see, okay, why'd you do that? I'm really ready for him to explain what's going on with this idea of wearing this shirt, because I want to know, because all we're doing is speculating. And I don't think he has a good answer. He probably doesn't, but we're speculating what it is. I don't think it's going to be a good answer regardless of the fact, whatever he says, because I mean, he's parading around again with Candace Owens, and it's a lot of people that champion this type of behavior. A lot of black people I know actually champion the type of behavior that Kanye's doing and Candace is doing.
Because they're free thinkers.
They think that's not being a free thinker, though. You're thinking like they want you to think, essentially. So you're part of the program. You're just not part of this program.
I tweeted about this literally today. It's randomly.
It's just stupid to me.
Well, if you really do your Googles on Candace, first of all, there's a lot of very conservative people who've had to wash their hands of Candace Owens. But, you know, of course, Kanye doesn't know that because he doesn't read. For some very, very inflammatory things that she has said, I'm not even going to get into them because I don't want to give her that kind of light.
But I mean, that's just who he goes to get anytime he wants to parade around that ideology.
Well, it's also because she, when he was going through things, she latched herself onto him.
Right. Right. And then remember when she was going a certain way, he was like, he got upset for him, and he was like, people aren't going to use me to politicize my voice and blah, 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 and I don't have anything to do with that. But now he's back doing the exact same thing that he said he didn't want to have anything to do with.
He's either really dumb, or he's completely oblivious and ignorant, or he's doing this all on purpose. And either way you look at it, it's not good.
No.
That's the thing. I don't think he's dumb. So I think he's...
I don't think he's dumb.
I want to say he's... I'll say he's like a lot of other people who are in their bubble. Like, he still thinks we care that he is... He has this proximity to these rich white people. Like, that means a lot to him. Like, he is still, and I know this is, apparently this was controversial when I said it before, but he still has such a value on a certain proximity to whiteness that, you know, like I said, when he's down bad, it's black this and blackity black, and I'm black and my black children.
That's super true, though.
But then when he feels like he's all right, he'll just go back and he will, you know, essentially
Adidas
espouse, you know, white supremacist talking points. You know, like, because when it's
sorry for anybody that's a billionaire that has aligned themselves with these companies and are making money. You don't get to partner with a company and then you're automatically on board and you're the CFO and CEO. That's not how that works. And I don't think he understands how that works. He just thinks, I'm making this company this much amount of money, I'm supposed to be the head of the company. That's not how it works.
Yeah, it's...
You signed a contract with these people.
It's just super weird. You know, you make an interesting point, Jay, because there's so many times where it'll be like, I'll hear him come out and say stuff like, Adidas is doing this to me, or I'm being blackballed because of all this stuff, blah, 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 right? And then he'll literally like go back around and then kind of do similar things, not in the same way, but like he like aligns himself with this,
those type of people that you're,
he's like, look at me now, I'm hanging out with Balenciaga.
It's weird. It's super weird. That's why it's like, either he's dumb or he's doing it on purpose. And if he's doing it on purpose, I don't care about him, which I don't.
He gets some kind of personal currency, mental currency or something, by being aligned with these people. Essentially, because like, even if you think about when he had the interview on Drink Champs, he consistently talked about who he was having phone calls with and who are his friends or colleagues and things like that. It's almost like he
Well, it's to Jay's point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the, but
he's like, it's something else I'm looking for, though. There's it's what he said, but it does something to him.
It's almost like an ego type thing to where like he gets it's like a dopamine hit.
Like the whole homeless thing. So you got Kanye West, the Louis Vuitton Don, so to speak, who was always fresh, flying, nice gear and all that stuff. And now he's parading around as this homeless guy pretty much because he can. Because now I'm a billionaire and now I don't have to look fly. He used to say they wear suits because they don't know how to dress. And now you literally don't know how to dress. Just because you have a name brand don't mean you know how to dress.
Yeah.
Well, you know, like I said, like he's like, hey, look, I'm hanging out with Balenciaga. I know Elon Musk. I'm like, all right, dude. Like, all right, I guess we're impressed. Okay, are you happy that we're impressed with that? You know,
it all goes.
You
back
talk,
to,
but you know, you talk bad about all the people that you came up with. You know, but all, that's fine.
It all goes back to, in my opinion, I think it all goes back to mental health. I just don't think he's mentally well. And
he
like,
hasn't been since his mama died, man. I'm
no,
telling
for sure.
You.
But like the, I think the fact
we got to stop using that excuse at some
but,
point.
But it, no, I understand. No, it's exacerbated
the only reason
because
I can identify with that. I understand that situation
for sure.
So I understand how that changes you. Like it, me losing my mother completely changed my life. Mm-hmm. Now I don't have to go through spells of what bipolarism. I don't have that issue. Along with dealing with that. And he never really grieved his mom. Essentially, I don't know if y'all seen the documentary or whatever.
For sure.
As soon as it happened, he just kept working. So you got to understand what damage that may have done to him as well. And that's not making an excuse for him. But that was literally the turning point where he changed.
But to that, I feel like if that's the case, and I feel like that's probably is the case, that he's... All this stuff about his mental well-being and all this, it's exacerbated because he is who he is and he has the spotlight and he can come to the forefront and showcase this to everybody. We all know people who have mental issues like this. Probably personally, I know of a handful of people, not super well, but I know of a handful that are super random. They're all over the place. And if they were in the public spotlight and, you know, they had Kanye's, fame, and reach, they would be just like him. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, a lot of it is, it seems to be super because he's bipolar. You know, if he's having a manic episode or he's, I don't know. I think part of it too, in my opinion, is just, I feel like he tries, I feel like he puts a lot of, and a lot of us creatives do this, but he puts a lot of emphasis on wanting to be different, wanting to, I feel like he puts a lot of stock in that. Like He
aspires to be the most provocative man in the world type shit or something.
Yeah, but even like when you look at this, I feel like he's trying to continually outdo himself. Like, okay, nobody's ever done this before, or I'm a genius, so I'm going to try something that only geniuses do. You know, this is super provocative and super different. It's avant-garde to have like White Lives Matter shirt as fashion. You know, like he's trying to turn it into something that it's not. But he seems to continually do this. But
you know what's really going to be dangerous when you see people walking around with shirts? Because there are so many people who admire him, and they're going to be people walking around with White Lives Matter shirts.
Yep.
And, you know, they're
not
going to...
the white kids that are going to be rocking it.
And they're not going to have the wherewithal or the mental aptitudes to even try to explain
not
what that means to them. And you know, it's because there's going to be black people to wear that shirt.
Yeah, it is.
You know what I'm saying?
When people go upside your head, be ready to explain why you have on.
But Kanye West had it on.
You're not
all
Kanye
right,
West.
You're not Kanye. Once again, he can go behind his wall and he'll be just fine. You're going to get out here in these streets. Somebody going to see a White Lives Matter shirt. And you're going to have to explain that.
Anyways, let's move on from this. Enough Kanye talk.
Yeah.
I think we got our fix. It's been a while since we've had to... drama farm Kanye West.
Yeah.
So,
you know, Kanye West has always been kind of a terrible person. You see, that's the most evergreen thing I think I've ever seen on this show.
Yeah. I still don't think he's a terrible person.
Oh, no. I'm committed to that. Yeah, he's at this point he's a terrible person.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, it's Kanye is Kanye and I don't care about him. So, that's what it is.
I don't care.
Let's move on. This is kind of similar, so let's just kind of talk about this really briefly. Mm-hmm. Shouts to everybody that's in the chat. Again, and talking and doing things that people that talk do on virtual message boards and stuff like that. Yep. All right. So
in live time,
let's see here. So this was one on there. It didn't get a ton of votes, but we'll just briefly touch on, see if you guys have any thoughts on it. Professor was fired over a debate on the N-word and hip hop. And he says institution is too woke. So let's see. George Washington University said to human rights professor, George Washington University.
This just that sentence.
What the administration at George Washington University said to human rights professor who led a passionate discussion about the N-word with students, saying the word should be banned from rap music. Professor Michael Stoyle, a 72-year-old white man, was fired after students complained about his alleged use of the word. So he actually used the word as well.
Okay, he didn't just say N-word.
Yeah.
He didn't say gah. Remember that? The word when you're talking about
get a pencil?
Yeah. You can say, give me a pencil, my... Well, I guess I can't really get into that. Never mind.
So Stoyle told the students about the call and said he used the word to show why it should not be used. Students have since filed 3 racial bias reports against Stoyle for comments he made about using the N-word in a September class. While he insists he didn't use it during class and believes it should not be used by anyone, he said that they should be offended when it's used in hip-hop.
See, the problem, one of those problems is that exist in that whole conversation is a lot of white folks are upset that they still can't say it.
Right.
So essentially, they want to take it away from everybody. It's like, well, if I can't say it, nobody should be able to say it. I mean, that's the only thing that black people generally have that nobody else is supposed to do. People do it anyway. But I mean, he should have knew better walking himself into that situation. That's just not smart.
Yeah, I mean, sorry. But he is also a 72-year-old white man, so it's not even surprising.
No, it's not, especially the age factor, but still. I mean, he wants to somehow make it to where if I can't say it or if I'm not supposed to say it, then these kids growing up in their situations shouldn't be able to say it either.
Mm. Well, I think why a lot of our white friends are so opposed to the word now is because saying it gets them fired, and black person can say it and get $1 million. Because, you know, to say it either in jokes on stage or in songs. And so white people see that and they're like, you know what? We just need to get rid of the word. You know, if there's anything, usually there's nothing white people in America could be jealous about black people doing, especially something that they claim that they cannot do. And this is the one thing.
The like, one thing.
It's literally the one thing. It's like literally. It's the this N-word one
is,
thing.
The N-word is one, our reparations at the end of the day.
It's the one thing that
literally.
It shouldn't be. There should be
it
more.
Shouldn't be.
It's
should
a be one a thing more. In a wild way that we've been able to monetize.
Right.
That white people cannot monetize. And in fact, not only will you not be able to monetize it, you will be demonetized for using it.
Yeah.
And so like that's got to be upsetting for a certain, you know, for certain white people who feel like, well, you know what, if we can't do it, then we just got to get rid of it completely.
But that's also why even like on Twitch a while back, there was controversy over the word. I don't even know if I can say it.
Yeah, don't say it. Yeah.
But so I was eating a cracker the other day. And it was pretty good because
it was a saltine.
Honey, it was honey and peanut butter together.
Oh, man, that sounds fantastic.
Pretty good. But there was controversy over this one random particular word that, and they said that it was hate speech towards white people.
Mm.
But there's no, it's, I feel like these type of conversations are like, obviously, I feel like you guys would know more than I would, but they got to be super draining because it's like having the same conversation over and over over again, right?
No, it is. Yeah. And it's why like, you'll never hear me say it on stage. And you'll never, like when we're recording, you never hear me say it because in my heart, I do know what's wrong. Mm-hmm. It's something we should get away from. You know, it's the same reason I don't cuss around little children because I know it's wrong and I don't want to have to explain to them why I just did this and I do it consistently, right. You know, but that's, it is what it is. Once again, it's the one thing that black people can monetize that white people will be demonetized for.
Everybody wants to be oppressed, but at the end of the day, that's the new thing too. We're an oppressed culture too, and we went through this too, and blah blah blah. No, you didn't. And it's plus, nowhere near the same.
And plus, right. When you see the word now, there's a certain segment of our population that has taken woke and turned it into something.
Yeah. It's not even it's not even cool to say no more.
Yeah, you know, it's not like, you know, woke is being aware of things that are. It's just like, oh. Now that movie is so woke, or there was this woke, and it's a way to really
diminish the original meaning.
Yeah,
the
and diminish what somebody, you know. And sometimes I see things where I'm like, yeah, that was. I think of it as being corny when I think it's pandering, but I do not, you know, to say, oh, it's woke because we didn't want the 72-year-old white man to say the N-word in the classroom.
No, it's just not right.
You know, like even him saying the word woke,
which is what
me,
he did,
lets me know who he's influenced by. And it's probably time for him to go.
Yeah,
nah, for sure.
The new thing I've heard too is every culture or every race has been enslaved.
That's not new.
Yeah,
white people have been saying that for a long time.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I just recently heard it, and I heard it from somebody black, and they're one of those Candace Owen type. Yeah.
It's, yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. Look, as a white person, like, you don't need to coddle us. We're okay. Like, I just don't understand it. Like, the white people that get super offended by this stuff, all people were enslaved, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about chattel slavery, right?
Yeah.
But in America, and probably the European countries as well.
Yeah,
that's actually recent.
Yeah, it's not, you know, it's what I mean? Not, it's not, don't start bringing up Irish indentured servants and all this, you know, like it always goes somewhere else. I'm like,
I don't want,
we're not doing that today.
But my point, but bringing that up, the thing previous was that I feel like even though these conversations, you know, we've even on the show talked about similar stuff a lot, like I do think that it's a good reminder to people sometimes that to at least, you know, talk about this and at least bring it out this way. You know, like I'm reading right here some of the comments from this guy, and it's like he said he told the outlet my conversation with the vice provost, thank you, addressed this. I feel like that's a private school thing or something. I don't know, I've never heard that word before. Provost.
Just because I watched too much TV, I've heard it.
Stoyle said, describing the conversation he had with the George Washington administrator, he told his class about, my mother, who is white, was shocked when her best friend, an African-American woman from Detroit, referred to her as a silly N-word 45 years ago. I was explaining my commitment and that of my family to opposition of ethnic slurs, even when this is the case, voice as a colloquialism.
Colloquialism,
thank
yes.
you. By an African-American woman, to my great shock, the vice provost,
close enough.
Yep, said that she was physically affected by my use of the word. In response, I told her that I would never use the word again, even in intellectual conversation, which is kind of a, he's trying to position himself in a way to, you know, I know better now. And the effects of hate speech, and I have that promise. So anyways, we can move on from
job
it.
Job gone.
But like, yeah.
Yeah, well.
There it retirement. Is.
So this is example number 10,357. White people, just don't say it at your job.
Just don't say it, man.
Don't say it anywhere.
It's not hard. It's not hard to say.
It's one word you can't say.
Just a word.
And you'll keep your job.
And
simple as that, man.
You like jobs? You took your gerbs.
Took your gerbs.
All right. Next thing we have on the docket today is... there's a Rolling Stone article here talking about, it was a interview that Snoop Dogg and Stephen A. Smith on, I think it was a No Mercy podcast or something. Okay. I'm not hip.
Never heard it.
Yeah, so it's K, and like a bracket for the no, and then W, and then Mercy. So let's see here. So based on this article, it says around 35 minutes into the podcast, they discuss Snoop's longstanding friendship. He said, we've bonded over the years and we've been part of each other's life, and working relationship with Dr. Dre. He said, you're the first to hear this, but, during the episode that aired, I guess last Friday, him and Snoop have been working on an album for the last 2 months. It's allegedly going to be done in November.
We'll see.
And it's produced entirely by Dr. Dre, and it's supposed to be the 30th anniversary to Doggy Style. And the name of the album is Missionary.
Oh, all right.
So he said,
I guess
Doggy Style, the Missionary.
Back, you want it from the front?
Oh,
too?
That's corny, but okay. He said,
and it will be a Death Row / Aftermath release. So,
well, when I heard this, I just thought, November of what year?
Well,
that's whenever, you know, because I remember Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg, they were supposed to do an album called Breakups to Makeups. This was back in the 90s. I remember there was supposed to be a Dr. Dre Ice Cube album called Helter Skelter. Skelter, you know. It was supposed to be an album called Detox, you know.
Right.
So, like, whenever I hear Dr. Dre's name attached with something,
that's going to happen.
It's always going to be like, sure we'll see.
Yeah, because remember
album.
When the Compton album came out, we didn't know anything about it.
Exactly.
I would rather just not hear about it than you just surprise me with something.
Yeah, just put it out. We don't want to hear about it now, and then it gets pushed back. You know, because I remember the first, you know, when Doggy Style, how many times I went to the record store, because of course no internet then, and just like it's like, oh, it's coming out this week. It's coming out this week. And then, you know, I just looked up and one day it was actually there. So, I mean, don't get me wrong. There's part of me, there's a 22-year-old me who's like very excited to hear about this. But, you know, 45-year-old me is just like, yeah, we'll see. Sort of same way like Street Fighter VI is coming out. And like the 17-year-old version of me would be so disappointed that I don't care that Street Fighter VI is coming out.
I was just about to say, how can you tap into your old self like that? Because the me right now, if it happens, cool. If it doesn't, I feel like that's just the era we're in now. Don't tell me something's going to happen. Just
do it.
Just either do it or don't. There's so many other things that my short attention span can focus on, like right now.
They
have to realize what their fan base is right now are all, should I say 30 plus? The majority?
Probably 35 at least.
Yeah. 45 going into 50 plus at this point.
I mean, I'm 39, so I'm at the very edge of that. So yeah,
I was being modest. I was giving them a little extra leeway, but I mean, if it happens, that's cool. I mean, Snoop actually has been dropping. He's dropped a few albums in the past year.
He's always working.
Yeah. You know, he doesn't stop. And I enjoyed Back on Death Row record. I did.
Yeah, it's actually a good album.
Yeah.
Even he had a compilation album with a whole bunch of people that
the
was
one on
good
Def
too.
Jam.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not like it's at a point where I was like, I don't want to hear Snoop make any more music. No, I enjoy Snoop's current records. You know, I remember he had a song with Nas that I loved off the last one. I think that was on Back on Death Row. So it's not like I do not want to hear Snoop Dogg rapping anymore.
I still like his records.
But, you know, And I love Dr. Dre. We get something from him, you know, but like I said, knowing how he works but maybe he's been through some, you know, he had the life and death scare. Maybe he's had a different kind of thing now that he's, you know, he had to go through that.
Possibly.
Finished up his divorce. You know, maybe he has a different mentality on putting records out.
He's been, I don't know how instrumental he is in this guy's career, but there's a rap artist by the name of Simba. I don't know if y'all have checked out his latest album. Mm-hmm. It's actually pretty good, but he's supposedly a student of Dr. Dre.
Okay.
So Dr. Dre kind of took him under his wing and has kind of been helping him get things going. And I believe he produced a couple tracks for him. Mm. But so, I mean, he's still out here doing like OG type stuff. But when it comes to music and it's something that's directly associated with Dr. Dre, like this is his project, I'm not excited about it until it actually drops. I mean, he just did a Super Bowl. He had the proper time to release some stuff, even if it was a compilation with everybody that performed.
You know, it's crazy with Dre, you know, and he had a real scare, health scare. What was that? It was almost a year and a half, 2 years ago. Whenever there's going to be a day when his vaults are going to be available. And there's going to be so much music in there, and
like
it's
Prince.
It's going to be like Prince, to where we're going to hear that. We might hear that last Emperor album, or the King T album, or the Bishop Lamont album. You know, there's going to be so much. We might even have that Rakim album somewhere.
Yeah,
right.
You know, because he's
Busta Rhymes album. Somewhere.
Yeah, he's just sitting on music. Yeah, the second Busta Rhymes album that never came out on Aftermath, just sitting on music.
I'm with kind of you guys, obviously, but I show me. When it drops.
It's crazy. All the Death Row stuff finally got taken off of Tidal. You know, I know people are like, oh, he took all this stuff off of the different DSPs, but I was like, still on Tidal. Mm-hmm. And they finally yanked all the mm-hmm. Death Row stuff off of Tidal. So that was kind of a bummer.
All right.
Who said he won his monies?
Yeah.
I ain't mad at it.
Just imagine you got one hit. It was on a Death Row project, and now it's no more streaming money.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, so sponsors. Let's see. Yeah, you want to run sponsors?
Yeah, let's go ahead. Show the sponsor some love.
Shouts to our partners. Thanks to our partners. Dr. Coleman of Coleman Dental is our go-to dentist. He's a longtime Indianapolis arts and music supporter located right in Broad Ripple. Printfinity is a screen printing shop based in Indianapolis, owned and operated by our own DJ J Diff. Our good friends at Indy CD and Vinyl operate one of the best record stores in North America. Shop new and used in their site or visit them in person. And the best way to support the new old heads is to visit our Patreon and become a member for as little as $3 a month. All details on newoldheads.com. There we go. My bad. Thanks, Abe and Gobinator.
Okay.
And yeah, everybody else. What I was saying was, shouts to Coleman Dental. I need to make a dental appointment. And then I said that I'm not trying to have glued veneers. And then Jay was talking about stuff.
No, because now you can, I don't know if you've seen this advertisement, anybody, and I'm not going to mention the company because they're not a sponsor, where they, you could just send a mold of your teeth in and they send you some extra. Big ass white veneers for you to just snap on in.
Yeah,
you got the chiclet teeth. Yeah, man, they're hooking.
Kanye
that up
had now. That Balenciaga thing in his mouth.
Yeah, like a football mouth or something.
But it feel like his like lips were all bloody.
It looks like somebody beat him up.
Yeah,
maybe that's the look he's probably going for.
The homeless beat up
guy that was pandering for money and got punched in the throat
in my $3,000 sweater.
Yeah, that looks like trash.
Well, yeah, okay. Anyways, go to the dentist, man. Yeah. And if you need somebody locally, Coleman Dental in Broad Ripple.
It's right.
Right next to Decademics. Good people.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And very long time supporter. And if you need records, you know, go to Indy CD and Vinyl. And if you need, are you still printing shirts right now? Or are you kind of like on hiatus?
Here and there.
Yeah. I just haven't talked to you about it in a minute.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Get that good. I still do work.
I still do like bulk work, like if a company or somebody like that wants a bunch of shirts,
right,
I jump right on that.
Got you. That makes a lot more sense than like a one-off, like, yeah. Hey man, can you make me two shirts?
Yeah, that gets a little boring.
All right, see what else we have here to talk about. Russ illustrates why DaBaby isn't being blackballed. So in this article here, it's written by allhiphop.com. Recently, DaBaby claimed that he's being blackballed based upon the underwhelming sales of his Baby on Baby 2 album. Russ explained why he disagreed in a Twitter post on October 3rd. See what this says here. No one is blackballed, he said. He said, I just want to give my two cents on something in my industry. No artist is blackballed. Unless they cut off your Wi-Fi, remove your social media accounts, and take your music off all the streaming platforms, you are not blackballed. If you are famous and can still tell your fans, hey, I'm putting out music, then you're not blackballed. Fans will listen to your music or they won't. It's that simple. If you are a famous artist and you need playlists in order for people to listen to your music, how real are your fans? Why don't they support you? Regardless, we're giving too much credit and power to the DSPs or digital service providers. It's like iTunes and Amazon and stuff like that, and Spotify for people that don't know. I know for me, as long as I can tell my fans I'm putting out music, I'm straight. I'm not entitled to any playlists, nor do I need them for any of my fans to listen to me. That's why they're my fans. They might have thoughts on that.
It's true and not true at the same time.
Yeah. How you feel?
Regardless of... the ease of dropping and preparing music and putting it out to the masses, there's still a gatekeeper out there that can shift things and make it a little harder for things to come out or get heard. Fans absolutely are going to support you at the end of the day. As far as DaBaby is concerned, I wouldn't necessarily call him being blackballed or him that he's being blackballed, because his album sounds the same as the last couple albums he dropped. And he kind of fizzled a little bit based on that whole drama with that concert or something or another, where the controversial AIDS comment came out or whatever.
Peanut butter?
No, he had said something about AIDS.
Oh, it was like on stage or something, right?
Yeah, something about AIDS.
It was something about how was it trying to, was it trying to lose weight?
No.
Oh, it was a different age.
Yeah, it was different.
I feel like I remember him talking about that, and like Boosie defended him or something.
Something of that nature.
It was
that something else.
I know exactly what he said. It was like, if he had to said these things so close together, he might have been okay.
Right.
But then it just was too close for comfort, and then the Alphabet Boys jumped out on him.
Yeah, and then he
boys and girls.
Yeah.
And NIMBYs, the whole crew, non-binaries,
the whole crew. And then, I mean, just some questionable behavior, like he's always into it with somebody. The whole Danny Lee thing with his baby and them getting into it online. I mean, and people are all into everybody's business, but that's all they're into. So if you're not doing that constantly, and unfortunately he kind of pigeonholed himself into that drama character, mm-hmm. and he's not doing that, and the music is lackluster, then maybe that's his problem.
Right.
I don't know. But I do think that somebody can be blackballed, and maybe his situation isn't helping him as far as that's concerned, but I don't think it's hurting him to the point where just nobody's able to listen to his music if they want to.
Right. And I think that was kind of Russ's point, was like, you, nowadays you have direct access to your fans, right? So even if he has, let's say, like a deal with Adidas or something, or some brand out there, whatever, like they could drop him or they can not promote him anymore, but he still has access to his people. So
just like NBA Youngboy is not on the radio at all. He has like maybe one song.
Yeah.
But if you want to talk about fans supporting somebody, they think he's better than everybody that's ever been out.
Yeah.
And anytime he drops some, they're streaming it, whether it's good, bad, or terrible.
I'm just curious about who they're saying, like, they're blatantly blackballing him. Like, who are these?
A couple people said people? That.
Like, Meek Mill said it.
Meek Mill said it.
I think Academics.
Yeah, Academics sides with whoever he wants to side with. And also, I can't wait to hear what Freddie Gibbs' numbers are, because it's probably going to make Academics cry at the end of the day.
This is the thing. When you talk about Freddie Gibbs, you talk about Youngboy. These have never been, because the thing is, for whatever you got to say about streaming, there are still people who are definitely gatekeepers for the playlist. But then even if you don't believe, you know, radio is not what it was. Radio is still radio. And if you don't have somebody who can, you know, push your record, or who's willing to push your record to radio, to mix show, there's still a whole machine that does that. And if, you know, so-and-so programmer and not just an individual programmer, because this, you know, they're the program directors or operations managers at these radio stations. They have a certain level of autonomy. But when that very head, I don't know if you guys know who Doc Winter is.
I don't.
Doc Winter is the head of all urban music for iHeart. Okay. And it's wild because, like, I used
that's
to.
It's local, right?
No. iHeart is the national.
But it's
not iHeart. The local one is Radio 1.
I thought iHeart was based in Indianapolis.
No. That was Emerson in Radio 1.
I see.
But you know, not that it,
that's how much I care about radio.
Yeah.
Anyways.
But because not that I, you know, I'm just saying he would do something like this. But say you did something and it ran afoul of Doc Winter. Doc Winter could say, we're not going to play any of this artist's record going forward. It's done for him on these stations. Like every Z100 or, you know, hot whatever station that's in your particular town that's under the cluster of iHeart, there are people who are powerful enough and have enough influence, they can just turn your lights off. And until you do right by them, or, you know, the relationship that's based on a relationship is repaired, then you're not going to get your song played. It doesn't matter what the streams are. It doesn't matter. Like at one point, Trey the Truth didn't get his. He had, you know, he had gotten to it with somebody, I want to say, at the Box in Houston, which is a Radio 1 station. And this is years ago.
No, I'm thinking of more recently.
No, this is years ago. And he hasn't been interviewed or had any of his records played in his own city in about a decade. You know,
he's
because
still doing all right, though.
He's doing all right because, you know, he does. But just on Radio 1, you get in trouble if you play a Trey the Truth record. And that's nationwide. Well,
they don't play none of that regional stuff here.
Yeah. But at the same time, there's a big Radio 1 station in Houston. And they, like, when they do the Trey Day and stuff, they act like it doesn't happen. You know, because there are people who are, you know, for lack of a better word, it's just petty in this business. But it's still about relationships. And if you have offended somebody and you've offended, you don't even have to be the person who presses the button. You could have offend the person who presses the button, who has a relationship with the person who presses the button. It can say, okay, this song is going for ads nationally right now. And it's like, it's going for ads, but it ain't going to get them.
Yeah, but like the Trey the Truth situation actually kind of proves Russ's point, because Trey the Truth is not getting played at all in Texas, Texas is big enough to where you don't have to sell outside of Texas. But right. he still has a day called Trey Day where all his fans support him, and all his fans have been supporting him since he was so-called blackballed.
But also, so, that's you know, here's somebody like, I say, NBA Youngboy, Boosie, Russ. These are people with grassroots followings. You know, the baby was getting them pop looks. He was getting those big-time media radio looks, and now that all seems to be cut off for him for whatever reason.
I think.
And he said, and something, so, about, he said something about Meg Thee Stallion when they had the song. He came out pretty much in support of Tory, which is
so
that's messy.
Yeah. So
and
now,
then now he drops a song where he's talking about how he's had sex with Meg Thee Stallion, hoping that that was going to gain him some traction, which gained him some traction for that day.
It's like when Kanye Westing goes wrong.
But see, this is where relationships come into play. Meg Thee Stallion is represented by Roc Nation. Think about how many artists on Roc Nation's roster. Meg being
her
one of them.
Her last one, Plastic, too.
But at the same time, she has so many recurrents. Yeah. Like, you still can't turn on the radio and not hear Meg Thee Stallion.
Yeah, you're going to hear Meg.
So, and plus, like I said, she is backed by Roc Nation. So here is a whole building full of people who was like, okay, you're going to talk about our artist and demean her in this particular way. The people in that Roc Nation building can make the calls to the people I'm talking about who run all of urban radio and say, yeah, we see this is going for ads. If you want a particular budget, if you want access to this particular artist we have coming out with a new project in the fourth quarter, then we need you to not press the button on DaBaby's record because of our relationship. And that's how it works. Now, once again, if you're really a fan of DaBaby, you're going to listen to his records regardless. But if you are one of those people who's just kind of like, oh, yeah, that song by DaBaby's on the radio, or if you're just one of a DJ that's working a mix show, makes certain songs hit the club circuit, and they tell you, yeah, we're not going for any ads on mix show. And if you play that baby record, which is why, like, a lot of people, when they say, oh, I want to play records on the radio, I want to get in the mix show, it'll break your heart when you realize you're given a list, and if you play outside of that list, you won't be invited back.
I think a lot of the baby's problem was
so, like,
his actual record sales. Like, nobody's buying or streaming it the way he thinks that should be happening.
Yeah, and also he's looking at BDS, he's looking at Radio and Records, and he's like, wow, I went for ads and I didn't get one. Look, I went for this I went from being played on the radio every 45 minutes to not being played on the radio at all.
Which is why I think I agree with Russ because, like, sure, everything that you guys have outlined, I get it, right? Sure, there's different levels to being blackballed on corporate levels, but at the end of the day, he's not you. If he has fans and he has access to all this stuff, you still have access to do all the things that you need to do. You may not be getting corporate money, but you didn't play the corporate money game right. That's just what it is. I mean, you can call it blackballing, but it's not like it's nothing that nobody doesn't already know. You know what I mean? Same with Kanye West and all the other stuff.
I thought about what Tyler said a few months back. Tyler said, like, it's crazy how people will make a particular song or a piece of art. They'll tweet about it once and they'll move on, or they'll try to complain their way into people getting on board with their music. I was like, I have a couple of Grammys and I still promote my record like it's brand new.
But that's I guess that's my point. Like any type of defense that academics or, you know, like even the stuff that you're talking about, we're talking about it from a super, like, privileged, like, standpoint of, like, you already have access to stuff that nobody else has access to,
right?
You know, except for, like, this super top tier A-list Beyonce, Jay-Z, Megan Thee Stallion, you know, DaBaby. So I mean, if the argument is like, okay, DaBaby's no longer on the A-list, okay, cool, I get that. Mm-hmm. But as far as, like, being blackballed from the music industry, in 2022 you determine what you are in the music industry. I think Russ is the perfect person to speak on this because he
never
did
heard his songs on the radio or anywhere. He has a grassroots following that is unrivaled.
Yeah,
unrivaled.
So, like, I agree with him because, one, he knows exactly what he's talking about and he has full control over his fan base. And if you're only selling, what, 16,000?
Between 16 and 19,000.
Yeah, after almost doing 100. So 16, 19,000 in a week. is that that's including streams, or are they combining multiple streams to equal like one cell? I don't know how that
it's,
works.
It's at this point, it's equivalent units. So like everyone streamed your record enough to where
they're 16,000. So, dude, which is super low. So, I mean, it just kind of shows that whatever he's doing without the label push, or maybe not a label push, or whatever original push that he's used to, is not a lot of people behind it.
I mean, or maybe your sound gets outdated too. And if you're not evolving, or you're not making hits,
but that goes into it.
Yeah, you were in a situation where you were making hit records. Mm-hmm. So if you drop this album just because you're baby doesn't mean you have a hit record.
But at the same time, though, like, if you're making hit records and you have fans, you would think that those people that like your hit records, they would at least go and check you out to see if they continue to like your stuff. But if they're not even looking at it, and they're not even looking them up when it's dropping, it's like,
I don't know.
They ain't really riding for them like that.
Lil Baby took the baby position, so.
There can only be one baby.
Pretty fair. Because it was confusing is enough for me. Yeah.
The little baby's out here rapping his ass off.
I mean, but wow. You know, it just comes down to, you do not, your time just might be, his time might just be up.
Maybe.
His time might just be up.
I missed it, which is super cool. But like, I couldn't tell you a baby song. Oh, baby, you know what? You know what? I've actually heard that white dude that looks like a lion. He's got that lion hair on TikTok.
The one that tries to rap like Lil Baby.
Does he try to rap like Lil Baby or Da Baby?
Lil Baby.
Well, never mind. I was wrong. So
I know you're talking about. He kind of looks like one of the people under the stairs.
He kind of looks like a Fraggle Rock, like a Fraggle.
Or like one of the children of the corn.
Yeah.
The dude from the Burbs. Coaster.
He's one of Gobo's friends.
He looks like the dude from the Burbs that says sardines.
Yes. Similar. Yeah, similar to that. Anyways.
Bum ass Fraggles.
That's yeah. Cool. Julio?
Oh, yeah. Rest in peace, Coolio, man.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I know a lot of people, they know. I hated when they said, oh, yes, Gangster's Paradise rapper Cool. I was like, man, I know this is not something the mainstream media is going to jump on, but he's also a founding member of WC and the Mad Circle. Honestly, you know. That wasn't popping though. Yeah, but you know, he really was there for, that's a big brick really in West Coast hip hop. And plus, like, he figured out a formula to where if he could attach a song he did to a big movie soundtrack, mm-hmm. You know, he did it for several movies, and he was also doing a lot of voiceover. So
I mean, he did the theme song for all that.
Yeah.
Oh, did he? I didn't know that.
Or Kenan and Kel.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, and so there's
he was always good for a good burger.
Yeah. Da, 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 da. What song is that? Na, da, da,
da, da. That is TLC, sir. That is What About Your Friends.
No. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
And also,
all that theme song sound like?
All that.
Okay, yeah.
So that was kind of like,
so he wrote that?
No, that was TLC.
That was TLC. Did but
he
all
did
that.
The Kenan and Kel song.
Oh, Kenan and Kel. Okay, that's why I was confused.
Yeah.
Okay.
No,
okay.
But one of my favorite
Kel loves orange
Julio tracks was I remember it was a song he did with J. Rowe of the Alcoholics. It was actually this song that came out after Fantastic Voyage. It was actually a record I really
Come
liked.
Come along, we ride on the. He had his moment in time, man. It's standing.
Oh no. And it was wild. I remember 95, like there was a time when white people were so into Coolio it made me uncomfortable. But
you know what's crazy? you know what's crazy about Gangster's Paradise is that I remember the song name more than I do the movie Dangerous Minds.
Yeah.
Like
I never even saw Dangerous Minds. I have no idea.
I saw it at the movie theater in like Lake County when I was a kid. But like I remember the you know,
I remember Michelle Pfeiffer being in the video.
Mm-hmm. There's multiple times where I was just kind of like, I don't remember the name of the movie, but it's the Gangster's Paradise thing. So, yeah. I didn't know. I'm not super huge on knowledgeable about Coolio stuff outside of the, you know, the few major hits he's had and stuff like that. And I think he was just on tour, too.
Yeah. No. So, he had the record, I'll See You When I Get There. I think that was on I think that was on the Nothing to Lose soundtrack. Mm-hmm. You know, he had a He always had songs with Razzcast, of all people.
Yeah. He had some hits, man. Them residual checks was looking good, I'm sure.
You know, so only 59, you know, like as you get higher in age, as I'm getting, when you hear 59, you're like, that's not old.
Nah, it's not.
It's not old. So, you know, I don't know what the cause of death was. You know, I just...
I mean,
I said he had a heart attack.
Okay, okay.
They said that he went to the bathroom and then they found him or something. Yeah, I forget reading it, but...
Yeah, so shout out to Coolio, his family. You know, I'm not sure if he was still married, but I know he had a couple of kids.
His contribution to hip-hop.
Yeah, so, you know, just one of those people, like, a lot of, you know, the mainstream sites will boil it down to Gangster's Paradise, but he was a lot more than that, you know? Just another rapper we lost, man. It just seems to be a constant thing, you know, whether it be unfortunate circumstances due to violence or just people not living as long as, you know, they should. Maybe, you know, like I said, everybody take care of yourself, man. You know, eat your vegetables.
Yeah.
Drink your water.
Green vegetables, you know. Not potatoes.
No, I used to like think that, like, you know, my mom would be like, you need to have more vegetables. I'd be like, well, I got potatoes here. Like,
oh, that's a starch.
It's like, but it came out of the ground. In my mind, I'm like, it came out of the ground. Huh? Come on now. Not an animal.
Same thing with corn. It's debatable if corn is a vegetable or not.
Corn is just like,
corn is horrible for you. Like, starch. In the sense, oh, is it?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't.
I didn't even think about
when I said that, but.
Yeah.
I mean, but corn, like, you can't even digest it. You know what I mean? Like,
no, it still comes out whole.
And it's in everything.
I have to clean up baby poop with whole kernels of corn.
Do you ever think to yourself, I know she chewed this.
Yeah.
But it still comes out.
It's like it reconstitutes inside the body. Excuse
me. The magic of corn.
You will not stop corn.
Yeah, man. What is that in corn that makes it do that?
I don't know, but it's like this. Look, we just put corn or corn syrup or high fructose corn syrup in everything.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Like, there's sugar. Like, it's just another way to, like, this is why, like, when you look at the food that's in America compared to, like, the food in every other country. Like, people leave crazy up out of here, they'd be like...
Everything y'all eat has sugar in it.
Yeah. It'd be Wheat Thins got sugar in it somehow.
Ketchup has sugar in it.
Yeah.
Man.
Our bread has sugar in it.
Yeah, because, like, you talk to somebody...
Reese Cups.
Well, yeah, we do
love Reese Cups. That's,
you talk to somebody, like, from Europe, and they feel like our bread is like cake.
Like a pastry.
Yeah. But, you know,
it's crazy.
Well, theirs is like rocks.
Yeah, it's like old prison ass.
Unleavened bread.
Yeah.
That's why their teeth look as such, maybe.
Oh, wow. Right, y'all, Governor.
That's white on white. White on white.
White on white crime.
Hi, Governor. I haven't been to a dentist in a minute.
Shout out to Austin Parrish.
No.
It's because you're eating so many hard pieces of bread, Governors.
Governors.
Well, yeah. All right. We will see y'all guys next week. And again, so... take care, peace, love, Reese Cups. Bong.